Standing on the weather-worn shores of the Alaskan coast, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Philip Caputo watched Eskimo schoolchildren pledge allegiance to the same flag as the children of Cuban immigrants in Key West, 6,000 miles away. And then he began to wonder, how does the United States, as diverse as it is large, remain united? In 2001, in a nation mired in war abroad and rocked by the greatest economic calamity since the Great Depression, Caputo loaded his wife and two English setters into an Airstream camper and hit the open road in search of answers. His new book is The Longest Road, Overland in Search of America from Key West to the Arctic Ocean. It follows the epic four-month road trip that led the couple down country roads, meeting Americans from all walks of life. Philip Caputo is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and the author of many works of fiction and nonfiction, including A Rumor of War. It's always a great delight when he joins us. Philip Caputo, welcome back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you aboard and very nice to have you back on the program. At what point do you think of this in the sense of, I want to take a road trip, an extended road trip that's going to eat away 4 months of my life?
Oh, I would hardly call it eating away.
It's an investment.
Great moments,
right?
Of my life.
It's an investment,
and I'd certainly, as you mentioned, I had thought about it going all the way back to 1996 when I was on that island off the coast of Alaska, watching those kids pledge allegiance. But what it really occurred to me that I'd better make the trip was. Was in 2010 when my 94-year-old father died, and I was approaching my own 70th birthday the next year in 2011. And I figured, I said, if I'm going to make it, I'd better do it now. And so in May of 2011, I headed out.
What goes into the planning of such an adventure?
Well, I did quite a bit of, you might use a military term, map reconnaissance, by looking at a lot of road atlases and Google Maps and getting a general idea of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to see along the way. But that took about maybe 10 days, and that doesn't count, of course, getting a trailer ready, getting all the equipment together. I would say that, you know, altogether it probably took a good 6 weeks to 2 months just to get ready for the trip.
There is something very romanticized in this country about a road trip, about traveling this country and visiting the nooks and crannies. Did you have that feeling? I mean, was that something that was driving you, that there seems to be this search for America attitude where you say, I'm going to go from sea to shining sea and find out what's out there?
Yeah, you know, the great travel, well, not just travel writer, great writer, period, William Least Heat Moon, with
yes.
whom I had a conversation, the author of Blue Highways, as he pointed out, is that no matter where we Americans may have originated, whether you're of Italian ancestry like me or Anglo-Saxon ancestry like my wife or something else, is we all, with the exception of Native Americans, came from somewhere else. And as a matter of fact, you could even say that the Native Americans did. They migrated from Asia 12 or 15,000 years ago. So we all came from somewhere else, and I think we're all, it's almost in our American DNA to be restless and curious and wonder what's around the next bend and over the next hill.
This is a procedural question, but is it, when you set out on such a trip, I mean, it was always your idea to write about it, correct?
Yes, it was.
So does that in some way influence where you go and what you do? Because you are ultimately looking for a good story.
Well, it would maybe under some other circumstances, but I had decided before I even set out that I was going to leave as much up to chance and serendipity as I could. I didn't, as I phrased it before, I wanted to have an open mind on an open road. So I didn't really tell myself, I should say, that, I got to interview this kind of person and that kind of person, and I must go to this place or that place.
And were you looking, but with that said, were you looking for kind of a an experience that was to places that you had not been before? Were you trying at all to avoid cities? Were you trying to stay on, off the highways and on the back roads? Were there guidelines that you had put in place?
Well, I did put the guideline. One guideline I certainly put in place was that I was going to stay off as much as possible the interstate highway system, for the simple reason that I wanted to talk to everyday or ordinary Americans in wherever they were living, whether it was out in some rural area or in a town. And you just simply don't run into that on interstates. You just barrel right on through at 75 miles an hour. So I did determine that I was going to stay on the back roads, the county roads, state roads, and maybe the old U.S. federal highways that are themselves two-lane blacktops. And in a lot of cases, I was off on gravel back roads into the back of the beyond. But I didn't determine that I would stay out of cities, though, for any reason other than the practical one that towing a trailer with my truck where it's 42 feet long, and I didn't really want to go driving through some place like Chicago or New York City with
that. I love reading about the dogs. Is this a good country to travel with dogs?
Oh, I would think it's the best.
You talk about romantic notions, and yes, you were with your wife as well, which is also a lovely romantic notion. But to be going across the country with the dogs by your side and your family present in that vehicle, that has to be a special time.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people thought that since we'd be living in a 20-foot-long truck and a 19-foot-long trailer, that we might be at each other's throats after a few weeks or months on the road. But in fact, we drew closer together. We all became road buddies.
Yeah. You have that shared experience.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Airstream trailer, which, it seems that comes out of Central Casting when you're going to go on a road trip. It should be in a 1962 Airstream Globetrotter. So did you seek that out, or was that just fortuitous?
No, I sought out an Airstream. It wasn't necessarily that particular year or that model, but I knew I wanted to make the trip in an Airstream because, I love the way they look.
Yeah.
For one thing, that sleek, rounded, aluminum, shiny body of theirs. And also, I think of it in my own mind as the iconic American travel trailer. It just speaks to me of the open road. So I did seek it out. It was by chance that I didn't buy that. This was a leased trailer that the woman who leased it to me happened to have a couple of trailers, and this was the one that worked out the best.
Ethel was the ultimate name, right?
Right. Yes, Ethel.
Ethel. How long in the trip do you start naming the?
Oh, they were named beforehand.
Oh, they're named beforehand.
My wife actually christened them. Fred was the truck, and Ethel was the trailer. After, for those who are old enough to remember the I Love Lucy show,
sure.
Fred and Ethel Mertz were Lucy and Ricky Ricardo's neighbors.
That's right. Vivian Vance and William Frawley, right?
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
we go for the bonus round. When you're in the truck and you're going down the road. And when you would wake up in the morning and start your day, was it, okay, we would like to be here by the end of the day? Or, as you said, if there was a fork in the road and you met somebody and you could go right instead of left, you would do that?
Yeah, I would say start off and we take a look And we'd say, okay, we want to be up the road, whatever it means, 200 miles, 240 miles by the end of the day. But if something struck us, as you say, some fork in the road or some bend in the river, we would abandon plan A and go with plan B.
So coming back from a trip like this after 4 months, we are told that this is a polarized nation. We are told that there are red states and that there are blue states. We are told that there are the haves and the have-nots and the 10% and the 90%. So when you come back from a trip like that, does all of that go out the window, or does it very much verify what is told to us from various corners of this country?
Well, I wouldn't say all of it goes out the window. Quite a lot of it does. I would say almost all of the states, I'm trying to think if there was any blue state that we traveled through, and I don't think there was. But as we went along, and by the way, my wife and I are both from blue states, and we have a blue state political philosophy.
Right.
We get into discussions with people. We found everybody, even those who disagreed with the way we looked at the world, or we disagree with the way they looked at the world, everybody was pretty reasonable in expressing their opinions, and you can feel that you have a lot in common with them, and I'm sure that they felt the same way about us. I can think of one incident where I got a kick out of. We were in Idaho, camped alongside a river next to this gentleman who was in the trucking industry, and he was very conservative, very red state conservative, and even though he had lost his first job due to the economic recession, he was speaking out against a lot of what we would call liberal programs like unemployment insurance and so forth, and he kept using the word liberal in a pejorative way. And his little daughter was with him; she was 10 years old, and she said, "Daddy," she says, "what's a liberal?" And he says, "Oh," he says, "liberals feel that the environment should be preserved and that people should help out each other." And conservatives feel that all of us should get through life, on our own initiative. And she said, "Well, Daddy, I guess I'm a liberal." and he laughed at that, and we laughed at that, and we all had a pretty good time.
The name of the book is The Longest Road Overland in Search of America, from Key West to the Arctic Ocean. It is published by Henry Holt. Philip Caputo, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.